Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. After this morning, we will have one message left in our series on the exodus of the people of Israel. If you've been tracking with us through January, we began talking about the nation of Israel beginning in the book of Exodus and the big events in Moses' life and his leadership for them. Track that through the middle part of the book of Numbers. And we're going to finish up with one more teaching, one more message on out of the book of Joshua as they get ready and actually begin to enter into the promised land. So we're going to have one left. Next Sunday, actually, Dr. Jim Tillotson will be with us. Dr. Jim is the president of Faith Baptist Bible College. He's going to be here for our graduations on Friday and then Sunday night for the high school and the college. And so he'll be preaching. You're going to really enjoy him next Sunday morning. So then we'll come back and finish this series a week from Sunday in that passage in Joshua. And then we're going to start something new in the summer. We'll tell you more about that here in a few weeks. But I want to do something a little bit different this morning with Mother's Day and everything. And actually, some of the best teaching on families in the whole Bible is found here in the first few chapters of Deuteronomy. So again, we completed last Sunday on that those middle chapters of Numbers, and we're going to jump to Joshua, but we're going to pick one message out of the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to talk about it here on Mother's Day this morning. So the book of Deuteronomy is three sermons or speeches that Moses delivered to the Israelites while they're on the plains of Moab shortly before they enter into the promised land. So if you can kind of put the timeline together, last week we were talking about the Israelites at the beginning stages of the 40 years of wandering. We're jumping now past all that. Remember, instead of going into the promised land, they held back in fear, and God said, because of your hesitance, you're not going in. And all those that were part of that decision to be fearful instead of full of faith, God said, you're not going to have entrance into the promised land. Your children will be the ones that would go in. So from that point last Sunday, now through here, we've got the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And now as we get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and actually the book of Deuteronomy, they're now on the plains of Moab getting ready now, finally, the children of those who had held back. They're going to enter into the promised land. And so Moses is talking to a new generation of Israelites. And they're on the banks of the Jordan. And what he explains to them is kind of a quick sequel of what had happened in their history, in the history of Israel up to this point. And he reminds them about God's law. And there's a section of Deuteronomy that just is a reminder of the Ten Commandments, the rest of God's law, and why they should obey him. It's sort of a motivational encouragement to them. In fact, keep your finger in Deuteronomy 6. That's where we're going to stay. But turn over to chapter 30. Right at the end of chapter 30 is a good summary statement of what is the book of Deuteronomy is all about. Let me just read these two verses. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And I love this. Every one of these phrases is really cool. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. So he's making sure this is very important what I'm going to say here. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. I mean, this is a powerful, he puts it right in front of them. Here's the choices. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And you got to decide both for you and the children that are to come. Verse 30 or verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave unto him. And those terms are going to sound familiar as we go earlier in the book. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. These are awesome graduation verses. If you're filling out a card for a graduate, you could put these down. Really good encouragement, like you're on the verge of, you know, entering in. Now choose wisely and choose God's blessing. You know, more and more I find myself looking for opportunities to encourage families. It's not easy raising a family in the world that we live in, especially if you want to raise a family to follow God and to make a difference for God. There's so many choices that you have to make. There's so many decisions about all kinds of things. It is more complicated than it's ever been. I really believe that. I mean, how do you know what kinds of things you should, you know, allow your children to do? How do you know how you can protect them? How do you know what opportunities to place in front of them and which directions to try to help them to go? I mean, there's so many things that are coming at you and at us as parents. And I don't know about you, but Faith and I, in our parenting years, and we're still in the middle, I'm just a little bit long later in the stage, but we are constantly looking for all the help that we can get. I'm really thankful that God's book gives us a lot of help in this parenting process. If you're here today, and I know we have a lot of young families, and you know, I just want to encourage you again that God's word is full of practical and helpful and challenging encouragement for this run and this season that you have as parents. And you're going to find through its pages that there's parts of the book that just read like an instruction manual about how to be a godly parent. And the text that we're going to this morning, in my opinion, it may be the clearest, most concise, most challenging set of verses dealing with families as the foundational building block of any society. So parents here this morning, you need to spend some time in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to do it this morning, but let me encourage you to come back again and just see what God has for you and for your family out of this text. But here's the thing. This set of verses not only was written to families, it's really written to a society in general. It's written to the nation of Israel as they prepare to enter their new land and set up a new society. I mean, they had just spent the last 300 years in Egypt. They were under the domain and the oppression of another society. And now they have the opportunity, kind of this parentheses of 40 years, and then they're going to go into the land. Set up the laws that they intend and the ways that this is going to function. And what God says to them at this critical time is this: if this society is going to work, it's going to be based, first of all, on the stability of the family. God says, I want you to pay close attention to the family because it's the building block of a healthy society of people. If you can get the family right, then the rest will fall into place. If you can get those cornerstones of, you know, the critical foundation, if you get that piece right in this building of this healthy society, and the rest of it is going to fall into place. By the way, this is why Christians care so much about and should care so much about laws that affect the family. This is why Christians care about like what marriages look like, or what are the roles of men and women, what are the roles of gender in a society. And I know that some kind of look at that and say, I get this. Why doesn't everybody just mind their own business? I mean, who cares what somebody else thinks about something like this? Why should you care about how somebody else wants to define marriage? Why should you or a Christian care about what a family should look like? And the reason is, and I think we should be so full of grace when we have conversations like this. I hope that you always hear it in that way from this place, from this church. And I want to encourage Christians as you communicate about these kinds of things. I think far too often Christians are full of not enough grace in these areas. And so we just, all of this needs to be full of grace. But listen, we want to be clear as well that God is the creator. And he was the one who designed marriage, and he designed family in the first place. And he designed it to function in a specific way. And in fact, the family then is the basic building block of the whole society. So if we don't get that right, if the building blocks are not square, if the building blocks are slanted or they're broken, and so we're putting down a foundation that isn't going to hold anything else up on top of it, then the society is going to struggle as we try to build anything, you know, on top of that. I have been saying this for a while. You know, as we think about this burden that we would have as a church, I think any church that cares for vulnerable people, cares for those who are hurt and broken, and this is part of what Christians should do and what we ought to do. I think anytime that you're continually in a place, and Harvest, you know, is burdened for this. Harvest House has ministries towards vulnerable and those that help. And you know, we try, there's a lot of things going on island. You start trying to help people in addictions and broken families and all the struggles that come with kind of questions about life and a lot of despair about life and about future. And, you know, sometimes I feel a little bit like this. I hope that you can kind of hear this analogy, that we're at the base of a big river, a rushing river full of rapids and rocks and very dangerous territory. And it's like we're standing, the church, and we should be, is standing at the bottom of that rushing, raging river. And we're looking out and we're seeing people who are drowning. And as we should, we're wading out into that river and rescuing and trying to help and help people who are just struggling with life and having a hard time, you know, making through it. We're coming with the gospel of Jesus and with the hope of the scriptures, and we're saying God can help you. And by God's grace, it's an amazing, important ministry of God's church. It's really important. We want to do that. We're burdened for that. But you know, sometimes, in fact, I've tried to communicate this with some of our island leadership. Sometimes I get burdened like we're standing at the base of the rapids, you know, venturing out into the deep water to help people. But I wonder if we ought to spend some more time going upstream a little bit and getting to the top of the rapids and find out why people are getting thrown into the river in the first place. And if we can go up to the top of the rapids and look out at that location, I'll tell you, one of the things that you're going to find almost inevitably on those who are stuck in this river and in, you know, some of the tragedy that it comes along with, is you're going to find the at least connected with this is broken families. That's allowed just a lot of hard things to happen, and so, you know, innocent people have ended up in that as a connection of the really the erosion of the family. And the burden would be, not only do we as a church and we as Christians want to stand there all along the river helping anybody that needs hope, but we also are burdened that we would be able to invest earlier on to help people be able to understand what God's design is for our lives and what God's design is for our families, in order that there could be strong families that could be built so that people could be rescued before you know, a young child ends up, you know, kind of in that river of destruction. Does that make sense? So that's a little bit what Moses is saying here. He's saying this is early on, before this starts. We want to help families as the building blocks of a healthy, thriving society. We want families to thrive. So I think Deuteronomy 6 gives some of the best advice in the whole world for one of the things that a lot of people have the biggest questions about. How do I have a great family? How do I be the kind of mother, or how would I be the kind of father that would shape a home that would really thrive? And God says, I want to help you with that. That's what the scripture does. So this text focuses on three areas of instructions. We're going to talk about these three. Number one, talks about instruction for the heart. It talks about instruction for the home. And then it talks about instruction for the head. And we'll look at these verses and talk about each one. Okay, begin with me in chapter 6 and verse 4. Actually, let me jump back to verse 3 to pick up this context. Here's what it says. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. All right, here's what he's saying. Hey, listen carefully in order that it would be well with you and that you would thrive in this promised land, you know, filled with this milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Those last two verses are interesting. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But the first area of focus is this, instruction for the heart. What these verses tell you, mom and dad, is super important. It's foundational. You can't fake a genuine spiritual relationship, at least not with your kids. They'll find out. They know what your heart is. Or maybe if I could say it this way, you cannot put up a facade. You cannot put up a front of religious actions and spiritual words and expect that those words or that front to have an impact on your children. It will have an impact, but if you don't have anything behind that, it's going to have a negative impact. Your kids will realize that what dad or mom says with their lips and with their actions is not consistent with what I see with their heart. So if you desire to impact your kids for God, it must begin with this foundation, because your kids will know. And what Moses says, God through Moses says, that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. I mean, these words bring with them intensity and passion and priorities and focus. I mean, that's sort of what all of this brings up. It's not just some ho-hum, love the Lord. I mean, it's passion and intensity in our priorities. It has to be in here first, before you can ever expect it to be transferred out and lived out in their lives. The phrase, with all thine heart, literally means an undivided heart or an undivided love. It's a love for God that permeates your whole being. It's not like you have this part that's sort of your secular life, and then you have this part that's your Sunday life, and this part that, you know, when you're with your Christian friends. I mean, this is an undivided heart. It envelops everything. As every good parent knows, you will be the example for your children. Your children will not love God genuinely if they've not seen you first love God genuinely with all your heart. There's some disclaimers for this. I want to talk about that in just a minute. It's not that, God's going to reach into many of our lives, and we have many testimonies in here like that. But you know, if you're a Christian parent, your testimony of loving God is going to have a significant impact on the testimony and the heart of your kids. Because like it or not, your kids will be like you. When Faith and I were just getting to know each other and we're just dating, she used to laugh at me when I would drink something hot. And actually, this happened a number of times, and I had no idea what she was talking about. Evidently, when I drink something hot, even if it's not in a hot cup, it could be in a styrofoam cup, when I pick it up to start to drink it, I stick out my tongue and I lick the lip of the cup. And I never knew that about myself. And so every time I'm with Faith and I'm drinking, something hot, I pick it up and I lick the lip of it. And she's laughing at me and I'm like, what are you laughing at? She says, you're licking the lip. Why do you do that? And then she said this, your mom does that too. And I didn't know that. As soon as she said it, I knew that that was true. As soon as she said that, I can envision, even now, I can picture my mom, with a coffee cup. My mom loved coffee. And I can picture every time she'd pick that up, maybe not every time, but she'd make sure. I think she was checking to see if the lip was hot. I'm not sure. And I do that even now. I mean, I've tried to, get rid of my habit. But listen, I know that that was not the only thing that I learned from my mom's example. I learned a lot of things. Many, many, many good things. And probably some, a few bad things as well, like everybody. We learn from our parents sometimes things that we don't even think about. There are a bunch of things that your children will learn by your example that they will not learn in any other way. They'll learn how to respond to stressful situations. You can't teach this any other way than by your responses. They'll learn what to do when the clerk gives you too much change. They'll learn that from you. You don't have to tell them anything about it. They'll learn it. How to speak to someone that you love. How to speak to someone you love when you're angry at that person, or you're offended, or you're hurt. How to keep your promises. And the number one thing that your children will learn, what does a genuine relationship with God look like? How do I love God with all of my heart? I'm not saying that your kids might not learn that from somebody else. I'm thankful that many of us in this room that love God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our might, and didn't really learn that from our parents. I'm thankful that God, in His grace, taught that to you anyway. And this room is filled with many people that might have that kind of a story. But I'm just saying that if you're a believer and if you're a follower of God, what better inheritance could you leave your kids? What better legacy could you leave for them than this idea that, my mom and my dad, they weren't perfect. But man, I know this, that they loved God with all of their heart and with all of their soul and with all of their might. Maybe they wouldn't have to go through some of the hard stuff that you did if you were to pass on that legacy. They saw it in you, and then they were able to own it in themselves. As I look back on the impact that my parents had on my life, there's no question for me that the greatest influence was this. Was just a consistent example of real life faith. My dad and my mom's Christianity was just as real when they were home playing with us, or we were having supper together, or we were cleaning up the dishes after supper, whatever. It was just as real in those moments than it was when they're in front of a church. And, especially for a kid that grows up, my dad was a pastor, you guys know that. Especially for a kid that grows up in that kind of a home, that's really, really important to know this is the same person wherever they're at. But it's not just for pastors and kids. Your kids need to know that you're the same person at home as you are when you go to church. You're the same person, at work as you are, hanging out with your church friends. For my parents, there wasn't any show. They were the same. They weren't going to be somebody different at church. They were just real Christians, and I knew that they loved God with all of their heart. I knew that from the moment that I knew anything in my life, I knew that my parents loved God with all of their heart. You might be saying, in fact, maybe I can stop just for a minute to encourage you. In fact, perhaps maybe some of you moms in particular, this does not mean that you got to be perfect. My parents weren't perfect. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, you'll do nothing but exasperate your kids if you claim perfection. They're just going to be frustrated by that if you don't ever make any mistakes or ever admit to any mistakes. Probably your kids will learn some of their most important lessons from your failures if you'll deal with them appropriately, if you'll show them how to deal with failures, because they're going to have some failures. But you know, it's easy to be discouraged. I mean, some of you moms that are with those kids so much right now in the season of life that you're in, and at the same time, you're trying to juggle so many other things. I mean, some of you single moms in here, man, I know the weight that you're carrying. And let's be honest, you're going to mess up somewhere along the line. In fact, probably sometimes more than you want to. And I want to stop for a minute to say that's okay. The issue is not the fact that you would mess up. Now we can't make excuses for it, and we got to deal with it when we mess up. But your kids don't need to see perfection. They need to see genuineness and the reality of your relationship with God. And if you get that, if you can be real and authentic, and if you genuinely love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, it will impact your kids for eternity. They will not miss that, I guarantee you. Here's number two, some instruction for the home. And I've kind of labeled this keys to pass down your faith. Here's some of the keys that the scripture calls us to in order to pass down your faith. So having laid the foundation first of this undivided heart, now we have these verses that start talking about practical advice. And we got to make sure that we get the heart first. That's verse 6. Get the heart first. You're going to find it extremely difficult to fix your home unless you have first fixed your heart. All right? So make sure that's clear. We got to deal with the heart first. It's you and God. That's the first thing that has to happen. But once you've laid that foundation of a heart that's genuinely in love with God, this is how you can pass on that same value system onto your family. And verse 7 tells us a couple things. It says this, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. All right, so we're going to say number one, teach the word diligently. Them is referring back to the words or the commandments of God that we're talking about in verse 6. So this teaching, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a minute, is not talking about some formal sitting down like an education. It's just talking about teaching through the casual moments of your day. And it actually gives us some examples. When you're outside, you know, you're talking about God's creation. And when you're eating, you might be talking about God's provision. And when you make a mistake, you're talking about God's forgiveness. I mean, just in every part of your life, every you know, season of life, every day of life, every part of your day, you're just communicating about God. This is how we teach. It's not like we sit them down once a day and we instruct them for an hour. I'm not saying we can't do that as well, but that's not what this is talking about. That's not the description here. So number one, teach the word diligently. Number two, live the word devotedly. That's really the rest of verse 7. You see, it's not enough just to talk to your children about God. You can put them in a Bible class, you know, 20 hours a day, and you can talk to them personally about God. That's not going to be enough. In fact, many kids rebel because they get tired of mom and dad preaching at me. And I'm not saying we don't communicate truth to them. We have to do this. But here's what the verses say. Verse 7 says, talk of the scriptures, of the word of God. Here's to say, when you sit in your house, when you walk around your neighborhood, when you go to the park, when you drive to the grocery store. It doesn't say it in the verse, but I think it's in there. When you lay down for bed, when you get back up. Right? It's just, you're passionately loving God, and you're communicating in a natural way that passion to your children. Your children will see not just what you say, but whether that relationship is real. Whether that fellowship with God on a personal level, whether that's happening throughout your day. And I just want to tell you that if they don't see that, if that relationship is not real, and if they don't see that because they're going to know, then you are going to have a hard time then communicating truths about God because they'll see through that. But listen, if conversations about God and His Word are not natural and common with you and your kids when they're little, and when they're in middle school, beginning middle school, why in the world do you think that they're going to listen to you talk about spiritual things later on? I think sometimes that happens with parents, this, you know, talking about God and living out God and letting our children see our relationship with God. You know, it's not common for us in those early stages, and all of a sudden they get to their teen years and then we're trying to talk to them about God, but it feels a little bit awkward. Well, that makes sense because we haven't built up, you know, that relationship of trust so that they've seen that in your life. Now all of a sudden they're in high school and then they're in college and they're adults. And I mean, why would you think that they will, you know, come to you and you can talk with them about these things if we haven't built up, you know, that relationship that they've seen all along? And by the way, I'm not saying that it's impossible. If you're here and you're like, man, this is tough on me, Pastor Gary, because I haven't had that relationship, this kind of relationship with my kids in the past. That means I'm not going to have a chance now. And that's not what I'm saying. It's not impossible. If you've not had conversations about God earlier, start now. Right, start now. And especially if you're in a place where, you know, spiritually you're growing and things are changing in your lives, your kids will see that. They'll see that change. And then, man, just make conversations about God just as commonplace as you can with them. So start now. Don't wait. It might be a little more awkward as they begin, but when they know and they see this change in your life, then they're going to hear and listen to your heart. Verse 8 and 9 explain that God's word has to be the focal point in your home. In fact, it might seem kind of funny, but here's how it goes. We read it earlier, but you shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and you shall be as frontlet, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. I'm going to explain that. And you shall write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Really interesting little word pictures. It might seem kind of funny to you, but this is how it goes. Some Jewish readers of this text took these commands literally. In fact, it seems likely that it may have been literal originally for the children of Israel during this time. I don't think it's currently literal, but even today, if you know or have seen Orthodox Jews, even today, these commands will be literally enacted. In fact, I've got a couple pictures for you that would be, these are current. So this word phylacteries might be new to you, but the word phylacteries means little pieces of scripture in little scrolls that are put in a little pouch or a little bag. And then they are, you notice on this guy's arm, they are, you bind them about your hand, and you can notice up onto his bicep area, there's a pouch there. So, I mean, that's the word, verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. So this was a literal thing. So this would happen even today, for sure it happened back in that time. And they shall be as frontlets between those eyes. That's not a GoPro on his head. And it's not a, I didn't mean that disrespectfully, but it is a pouch with some scripture references in it. And so it's this literal saying of this scripture. In fact, verse 9 says, "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So this is called the mezuzah. And again, this little small container. There's all kinds of different types of containers. You can find them. You can buy them in, you know, Orthodox Jewish locations. Inside that container is portions of the scripture. In fact, the portions are Matthew 6, this passage, or it's not Matthew, Deuteronomy 6, this passage, and Deuteronomy 11. Those are the two passages that are supposed to be in this mezuzah. And that's placed on the doorpost, and then as a Jewish family would leave or come back to the house, they would touch this, and there's a little prayer. It's really saying, God, in your word, you're going to go with me as I go out and on this journey, and as I come back, you know, the word of God is with me as I come back into the home. So I don't think this scripture is teaching us to do this. I don't think it's, I don't think it's calling you this specifically, but I do want to tell you this. I think it's pretty cool. And what it's saying is that the Word of God needs to be so embedded in your family and so embedded in your life that it's like you strap it to your arms because you never forget that the Word of God is just constantly with me. And you place it as a frontlet right between your eyes because you can't miss it if it's right there. Why is that commanded to these Jewish people, the people of Israel? Because that was to be a constant reminder to them of God's word regularly invested in their life. I don't have time to tell you, but I've done actually some practical things like this, not on my forehead, but there are different times I keep something in my pocket, just as reminders of verses that I'm thinking about, or just reminders for me to be in conversation with God and communion with God. But that's what this was. And the idea is that your home, if you want it to be a home that's thriving after God, is a home that needs to be embedded with His Word and embedded in your heart, this idea that you're going to be a home that's following after God. Your children need to know that you pray. Mom and Dad, that you worship, that you love God with all your heart. And how else will they know that unless you talk to them about it? I've got a funny picture that I want to show you this morning. I think it's coming up here. This is a picture, a little shout out to HCA volleyball team, because this was this is GSPN post about the win here at our gym and then a championship game tomorrow night. But the funny thing about this picture, I've got a little zoom in on this. So, if you look across that back line, that's me and Miss Faith on the left side. And then right next to that, James Lujan is there. Scott Mills is, uh-oh, we lost it. There you go. Scott Mills is there. Josh Taylor is there. Jay is there. If you went to the left, actually, I think you can see Stacia Perez, Joanna Dunca. Okay, all of this. Faith was like, man, you got to be so careful. They're going to take your picture and it's going to be out. You know, everybody's going to see it. Okay, it's a funny picture. But I want to tell you this. My kids have watched me at hundreds of games over the years and concerts and plays. If my children don't know that I love God and that I love His Word at least as much as I love volleyball, then they're going to be in trouble. Right? So this is good here. I want my kids, and in fact, there's no way to not do it. I want my kids to know that I'm passionate. I'm passionate about a lot of things. I'm passionate about things that they're passionate about. You know, there's a lot of things that you should be interested in. It was awesome for this group, you know, to be rejoicing, you know, in the success of our kids that, you know, we care about. All right, so all of that's awesome. But listen, if my kids don't know without any question that Dad is more passionate than even that about God and about His Word and about His church, then they're going to be confused about priorities, aren't they? One of the biggest lessons that you're going to teach your kids is about priorities, about what's important to you. And hear me on this, you never teach priorities by your words. You always teach priorities by your actions and by your choices. Your kids are going to know whether God is important to you or something else by your actions, by your choices. Your kids are going to know whether church is important to you by your choices. They're going to know whether the Bible is important to you by your choices. I read this quote recently, and I think it fits exactly with what we're talking about. Parents who treat the church as optional should not be surprised when their children end up treating Jesus as unnecessary. And parents, I just want to come along beside you. I know this hits home. It's kind of tight and kind of strong. But I want to encourage you now, while you have the opportunity, to know that your choices are going to impact things so dramatically. They're going to show your kids your priorities, and they're going to show your kids what you're passionate about, what's important to you. And if there's hope for the family today, it starts with parents that are living and talking about a spiritual life that impacts everything that they do. And your children need to see this ongoing evidence that God is a daily part of your life. Here's the third thing. I'm just going to read these verses, but it's instruction for the head. I want to read verses 10 through 12 because they're awesome. And I want to tell you this, don't forget the grace and the goodness of God. Here's verse 10. We'll just finish up with this. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. When God brings you into this land, the land that he's promised, and he showers you with all of these things that you did not earn, that you did not work for, that you did not create out of your own hard work and effort. When God gives these things to you, look at verse 12, then beware lest thou forget, that you forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Here's some great advice for all of us. When we experience the blessings of life that God has provided for us, don't forget. Everything that you have is because of God's grace and God's goodness in your life. Don't ever forget. And don't let your kids forget. For some of you, this understanding of the grace and the goodness of God, it's going to be very important for you in the middle of some rough water or some deep water. Some of you might be saying, man, when I'm thinking about my family, I just have a lot of heaviness. We're going through some heavy things right now. This is deep water, and it feels like maybe for some of you, the talking about this might even be a little bit of like a, wow, I got a late start on this, and there's a lot of things I got to catch up on, and might even feel a little bit hopeless, like, you know, where do I go from here? And I want to tell you this, if that's how you're feeling this morning, I want to step beside you with all of the encouragement that I can and tell you, don't forget the grace and the goodness of God, because that's the truth for all of us. There are no families that are going to be healthy apart from the grace and the goodness of God. So don't beat yourself up about, don't be overwhelmed by, God has given you the opportunity here to say, hey, listen, I can take some steps forward. I can begin kind of a new direction. I can implement some stuff that I've known all along, but have just kind of fallen by the wayside. And it's not too late because of the grace and the goodness of God. But don't forget, your children need to know that the Bible, God's word, is like life. They need to know that living for God is not just a Sunday morning act. The point of verse 7 is that the biblical education of children was accomplished best, not in a formal teaching time each day, but as the parents made God and made His Word the natural topic of conversation, which might occur anywhere and any time during the day when you're sitting and when you're walking and when you're resting. And by our actions, parents, in every phase of life, we're saying, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all of my heart, with my might. All right, would you bow your heads with me? You know, as we close out this morning, and if you just spend a couple minutes with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, there might be some this morning that would say, you know, some of us grew up in homes that were nothing like what we've been describing this morning. Some of us, the communities and the neighborhoods and really whole villages or islands, you'd say, it's just nothing like this. And for you, you know vividly all the turmoil and all the chaos that has come along with that. And I just want to encourage you this morning that you have an opportunity for a new legacy, a new start. It could be the start of a whole new culture in your neighborhood, you and your family and some other families like you, a whole new culture in our island of families that are pursuing God with all of their hearts and raising children that would love God in the same way, this genuineness, this authenticity. You know, a few key families like that can change a whole village, can change a whole island. I believe that. And that's our prayer. It's our burden. I think that's what God's burden is. We want our closing of the service to be the most comfortable place in the world for you to meet with God. Parents, there might be a need this morning for you to make some decision, make some changes. And I'd encourage you to do that, to begin that just by a commitment to God. It might be some things you need to seek His forgiveness for. It might be some things that you need to commit to be true in your life. And I want to give you just a minute to just talk with God about that. There also might be some here this morning that you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You're like, I know that the first step for me is I need to have a relationship with God. If that's you this morning, I could tell you that you could give your life to God right in the quietness of your heart. Just sincerely call out to Him in prayer. You might, you know, say something like, Dear Lord, I am sorry for all of my sin. Would you please save me from my sin and my failures? Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I place my faith in you alone. I can't save myself. And Lord, please forgive me. I pray in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know that if you would talk with God in that way, in the genuineness of your heart, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd encourage you this morning, if you pray that prayer, would you come talk with me, tell me about it, talk with one of the pastors, and help you see and discover what the next steps would be just in your spiritual walk with God. So Father, in this moment, as we finish this time, we head out to all of the other events that we have going on today, I thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for your word, which is clear and open. And we pray today that you'd help us to live lives that would be legacy, changing generations to come. I pray that they would be that we'd be followers of you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our might, with all of our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.